a couple weeks ago, I approached Dustin just about, you know, knowing that he was competing for a spot on the team, but he's out of options. And again, just with him being out of options and everything that, you know, that we've gone through together as an organization with him and time we've put in as an organization, the time he's given back to us to continue his career and the strides that he's made, that, you know, I didn't want him to leave either way. And at the same time, knowing that I wanted him to stay in some capacity one way or the other, you know, not knowing, you know, whether starter, reliever, whatever it was going to be, but I know I want him to be part of the club. You know, I didn't want to have to deal with a contract during the year. We did it one time with Romero, and it's not to say we won't do it, but I remember doing Romero's contract during the season, and it was just an incredible time sink. And I really wanted to try to take away any distraction or time away from that. And if there was something to do, I wanted to be able to do it now in spring training. So I always want to find out from the players first, do they want to be here? Are they willing to be here? Because I don't want to even go down the path if, you know, they want to play it out and they don't want the distraction. So he was very open to it. I reached out to his agent and went back and forth. And then around 4 o'clock, I finally got the word that they were going to accept. And we got the deal confirmed by the PA, and then we rushed Jay to get it announced.
Given Dustin's all his injury problems with his shoulder, how much of a risk do you think this is?
It is. I mean, there's no doubt, but that goes without saying. There's no question there's a risk, but that's part of what we have to do. And, you know, the one thing is, I mean, I'd be lying through my teeth if I said there isn't a risk. Of course there's health concerns. Of course there's risk. That's just the reality of what he's gone through. But at the same time, and I said this, I find I've learned as an assistant GM and even going into the GM, the one thing I think I'll put my head on the pillow on as we do more of these is the person that we invest in. I know I say it, I know it sounds corny or cliche, but I believe in it more and more each year. If you give the money to the right human being, and obviously you have to have ability, so the ability speaks for itself, but if the person, and you believe in the person, most times you're going to be right more than you're wrong. And it's whether you're a little high on the money, a little low, at the end of the day, the mistakes I find we've made as an organization is we may have just not done an evaluation of the human being first and foremost. So whatever happens from here forward, it's not going to be because he isn't going to work. It's not going to be because he's not going to be a tremendous teammate. It's not going to be because he's not going to lead by example. He's going to do everything how we want it to be. And now you start lining up in the rotation with the Romero, Amoro, a McGowan. They all have great ability, but the way they carry themselves, the way they handle themselves, the way they go about it day in and day out, for all the young kids that continue to come, we've now set up really a formula and a module for this is how it's going to be done, and these guys are going to impact everyone else.
Considering where you've been, all you've been through, the difficulty, what does this feel like?
It feels great. I mean, Toronto's where I wanted to be, and it's the only place I've ever been, and the organization stuck by me the whole time, and, you know, I've been grateful for that, and I wanted to continue it here.
Did it come as a surprise? Did you expect this at all?
It was a little surprise, yeah. But when he talked to me, I was very thrilled and looking forward to getting it going.
Dustin, was there ever a time during your time away, all your rehab periods, where you wondered if the Blue Jays would stick with you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess going through that many years of being injured, you're always going to wonder. It's just like wondering if I'd ever pitch again. But you know what? They stayed with me, and it made me continue to work harder just because I knew they wanted me here, and they seen something in me. So it was, you know, this is where I want to be.
Alex, did the Chris Carpenter thing, you know, come into play in any way, shape, or form?
No, I wasn't here. I wasn't part of the organization. I know Chris is great. He's developed to be a great starter, but I wasn't. I mean, I didn't know the dynamics there. I just know that even when Matt came up last year, and I know, you know, the numbers weren't great, I was, from a scouting standpoint, I still love what I saw. I love the delivery. You love the stuff. But at the same time, you know, we're not blind to the fact that, yeah, there's a ton of risk here. But that's, again, in this division, with what we're up against and what we're trying to do, we have to take a little more risk, or maybe a lot more risk than a lot of the other teams, and that's part of it. But I'll take the risk on the right human being. And you bet on the human being, you're going to be fine. So with what I think at the end of the day, if we wanted him to be here, I think, and he wanted to be here, you always end up getting a deal done. just the distraction and the time involved in doing these things in season, things can change and so on. It's always better to do it off season or even spring training at the latest. But again, if it would have had to go to during the season, we would have done that as well. I prefer not to. But if it would have had to gone during the season, we would have tried to do it then too.
Talk about the risk of this. There's also the flip side. If he comes back and does what you know many have seen along the way that he's capable of doing, he may actually wind up being underpaid.
Sure, and I think that's in anything. When a player signs a multi-year deal, you should be rooting to outperform your contract. I mean, that's really the goal of these things. If you don't outperform your contract, well, sure, financially it was good for you, but that probably means your career's not going well. And that probably means that you're not having any success on the field, fans, media. And then from a front office standpoint, probably doesn't look good from our end. So anytime you sign a deal, you're guaranteeing yourself that money, you're eliminating the risk. But you're hopeful that you outperform it, and then there's a second contract that comes to that. And look, the storybook tale here is he goes out and he has a great year. And again, I don't know how many innings he'll be capable to throw this year. We'll evaluate that as it goes, but we're going to protect him the entire time, make sure we treat him the right way. But at the same time, that isn't to say that who says he can't go on a 7-year run, 8-year run. And if that's the case, we might talk about another extension 2 years from now, 3 years from now. So I always say that the downside of a player not taking a deal is significantly worse than the downside of a player saying, I cost myself a little bit of money, and oh, you know what? There's a second big deal that's coming down the pipe, and that's happened a lot of times in this game.
Does this take in any way a weight off your shoulders? If you know what I mean, then you know that.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get something done like this, I mean, it's just another thought in your mind that you don't have to think about. You know, do I think about going out and performing just to get a contract next year? You know, this eliminates all that. It, you know, it gives me a little bit of security and gives me a chance just to focus on pitching.
Alex, I recall a number of times over the past several years where you've said in conversation, we're going to stick with this guy. And you said it again on Sunday when you were talking about his injury, we're not going to give up on this guy. Was there ever a point at which you began to wonder, too, is this guy ever going to pitch for us again? Is it worth sticking with him?
There was never a point of you question if it's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, if he was a bad guy, if he didn't work, if he didn't carry himself a certain way, but you can't. I mean, you guys all gotten to know him. You can't help but root for him. So, you know, from that standpoint, you rely on your trainers a lot. And I think George Poulos, Hap, Dr. Mirabello down here in Florida, all those guys. I mean, they deserve a world of credit. And obviously, Mac deserves all the credit and with respect to putting in the work and not having quit on himself at any point in time. But there's no question. Over a 3-year period, you always wonder, is it going to come? Is it going to come? But at the same time, you know, as long as the reports are always he's working, he's getting after it, he's staying positive, and you got your medical staff, your doctors, and your trainers say, stick with him, stick with him. I mean, it's hard not to. So, but we had no idea. And again, I mean, we're just starting down the path. But I think for us, it was, no matter what was going to happen, it was going to be with our organization. You know, drafted and developed here, been through a lot here, and we were going to see this thing through start to finish, good or bad.
Dustin, how's your foot today?
It's all right. I mean, it's just a foot, so I'm not really worried about it.
You know, it doesn't pitch with it, right?
Yeah, so you know, it's getting better, and I'm sure it'll continue to get better.
Yesterday we were talking to your manager, and he was saying that the best-case scenario, he's hopeful that – I guess by tomorrow, maybe you could be able to pick up a ball and throw on flat ground. Is that how you see it? Do you see yourself doing that, or are you doing that today?
No, I'm going to take another day off just to let it rest up. I mean, who knows? It'd probably be another day or two, and we'll see from there.
For both sides, why 2 years? Why not just go 1 year and then reevaluate? It seems that if you had a great year, you could capitalize on that, and if Dustin got injured again, then you wouldn't be locked in for another year.
I mean, that was more us. I mean, obviously, we're the ones making the contract offer. We're the ones making the proposal. Like you said, well, on the flip side, you can argue that, well, 1 year, it's, like you said, less guaranteed money. From our standpoint, he's going to need to be built up over time. And I don't think he's going to he's going to go to 200 innings or whatnot during the year. So knowing that we're going to take him carefully, slowly, and slowly build him up, you know, we wanted to make sure he was going to be here for a certain amount of time as he continues to build up as a starter. So I think the years were important with respect to knowing he was going to be here for a while, considering the fact that we had to build him up. So that was something that we requested and we wanted. And it was just a matter of, you know, coming up with what the right dollars were in terms of the option and everything else over a 2-year period.
And is there a buyout?
Yes, a $500,000 buyout.
Dustin, with everything that's gone on with you the last few years, how much of this was being loyal to them for sticking by you, and how much of this was, you know, a chance of guaranteed money? You just have to take that.
A lot of both. I mean, anytime you're guaranteed money, you want to take it. I mean, no matter what probably the deal is. But they were very loyal to me, so I got to be loyal too. I mean, it works both ways. And, you know, it's one of those things where I had to sit down with my wife and we talked about it. And at the end of the day, it was when I lay my head down to sleep at night, you know, there's no regrets whatsoever. Even if, you know, if I go out and have 2 or 3 great years and people may say, oh, well, you signed for it wasn't enough. Well, to me, it doesn't matter. You know, I made the deal and I'm going to stick to the deal. And in my mind, I made the right deal.
So you weren't looking, I'm finally healthy, I'm going into free agency, and this could be my chance to cash in?
No, I mean, because like Alex said, you know, there's risk and reward. You know what? It's a risk to hold out all year and see what happens. And this way, we got the deal done and I can concentrate on what I love to do, and that's pitch.
Alex, you said that he's going to have to be built up. So, assuming that he either starts the season in the rotation or gets into the rotation within a short period, how do you see that built? I mean, he takes his regular turn until you put an innings.
I think it's different with him just because of his health. So I think it's, you know, again, it's something we haven't been down the road, so I'm not exactly sure. We just know that because of the past health and so on, we have to be careful and monitor his health start to start, things like that. Again, if he feels unbelievable the entire year and there's never any concerns, I mean, I guess you'd never say never that he couldn't go full season, but so we're not going to put a cap on it that way. I mean, we're going to let it evolve as the year moves along, and that's, you know, we've been able to adjust his routine and his program depending on how he feels. So yeah, that's something that's way beyond me in terms of health. I didn't go to med school. But that's something that we rely on our doctors and trainers. And I mean, I remember there was a time that you know, we didn't think he could start because of where it was, and then he made such strides, and now he can. And it's probably better for his career to start rather than relieve. So we're learning this too, and we haven't been through this as an organization before. So we just think normally for a starter, you do need to get built up. Now, granted, he is older. He's had innings in the past. It's not an 18-year-old kid, but we don't know what the amount is going to be. We're just going to monitor it as the year goes along. You know, maybe at some point he starts feeling more soreness and we have to back him off or something like that. I'm not sure, but we'll deal with that as it comes.
But it sounded to me that you were saying you didn't expect him to.
Yeah, I think you can't go into this expecting. Right, you can't go into this expecting that. We can't go into this expecting that. You know, with all due respect to him, obviously, that, you know, I know he's going to be healthy for the next 3 years. I don't know. That's part of the risk. So you're better to prepare for the worst and react when things are better from that standpoint. So, you know, obviously, the home run and all this is he's healthy the whole way, doesn't miss a start, makes 34 starts a year for the next 4 years, wins 4 Cy Youngs, everyone's happy. But can I expect that? Probably not. So,
does the contract make Dustin a lock for the rotation now when he's healthy?
Yeah, I mean, right now, it was I didn't know ultimately, you know, obviously he had to go out and perform in spring training and so on, but we knew we wanted him to be here either way. So he's going to be built up as a starter. Yeah, when he's ready to go, he'll be back in the rotation.
The angriest I ever saw Paul Beeston was when Al Leiter left the Blue Jays after years of babying him through, not babying, maybe not the right word, but living through all the non-pitching. And he freaked when, did you guys have any conversation about losing a guy who you'd put so much time into?
No, you know what, there was, and it's nothing against Mac at all, but just talking internally, there was a lot of sentiment in the front office. Why are we doing this now? Well, let's just wait. You know, there's just the same thing. There's, you know, and I guess it's one, and again, it's not that everyone loves him and believes in him, but, you know, again, it's, and obviously Paul gives me a lot of autonomy. He always says I'm held accountable, and he doesn't want me to come back to him 2 years or 3 years from now. It's a lot of times when I make trades, he always tells me, I don't want you to come back to me 2 or 3 years from now. Tell me I didn't allow you to do something. So if you want to do something, I'm going to let you do it, but you're going to be accountable for it either way. But from my standpoint, I wanted him to be here either way. And I think, you know, you talk about, you know, do you become free agent? Do you do this? Do you do that? I think one thing you hit on that's important is if you know you want to be here, then why not get a deal done? Unless you know you want to be somewhere else. And I mean, I can tell you, even from my standpoint, I know my contract status has never been revealed, but I want to be here. So I don't care what the money is. It's kind of the same thing. And I don't care if other GMs make more money and so on. It's where I want to be. It's my first priority. And it's same kind of thing with me talking to my wife. If this is where you want to be, you're happier. We've seen a lot of players go to places where they didn't want to be because of the money, and they get traded, they're unhappy, and things don't go well. So I think there was going to be loyalty either way on both sides. I think we could have talked about it during the season. I think we could have talked about it at the end of the season. But you know, we think we have a very competitive team, and we want the focus to be on the field and him not have to worry about all that stuff.
Are you saying that Paul is skeptical?
No, not at all. But he always takes the other side. Anytime I bring anything to him, he has to. I come up with an idea, and I might be gung-ho a certain way, and he'll say, have you thought about this, this, this? But Paul endorsed it 100%. When I walked Paul through the thought process and why and so on, he totally endorsed it. If Paul's ever really adamant about something, he probably is making a very good point, and he's probably changed my mind when he's pretty adamant about it. He's been through these a lot more than I have. So, no, Paul was 100%, you know, behind it, and he believed in it. But he'll always give me the other side of it. And even internally, that's what our staff does. I can't have everybody on our staff that thinks the same way as me, because we're going to make a lot of errors that way. I mean, a lot of the things that we've done, good and bad, have been a part of our staff. And the staff being able to be checks and balances for me, and it maybe help me avoid a lot of errors.
Alex, I just want to be sure about this, that I think a lot of us assume that if Dustin makes a rotation, that given, you know, all the shoulder problems and all that, that he would be limited to maybe 120 innings. This is kind of a number. And you're saying that there's no restrictions at all? That
no, it's not. You know what? I'm saying I don't know. There's no question a scenario that he would be limited or capped. Absolutely, it exists. I don't, but we may change our minds 3 months from now, 4 months from now, based on how he responds, how his arm's responding. You know, there's so many things. You know, we were very careful last year with him not throwing sides, and now he could start throwing some sides. And again, so we don't know. So this is all, it's really something we evaluate over time. So if you sat here today, you would say, okay, there's going to be a limit. But I don't want to put the restrictions on him at the same time. So I don't want him going into a season thinking, okay, well, I've only got three starts left at so many innings, and our opponents think the same way. So there'll come a point in time that, you know, we'll evaluate how he feels, and we'll be proactive with it. If he starts feeling a little more sore and he needs to be backed off and so on, we'll just adjust accordingly. If he feels unbelievable and there's no issues at all, then he'll continue to go. But the minute we think we'll do strength tests and things like that, we'll just be very proactive with it. So logic would state today that, sure, he'll be limited at some point. But that's not set in stone.
Well, Dusty, how do you want to be used? I mean, do you want – are you worried about the shoulder, and would you like limits? I mean, how do you
– No, I want to pitch. So, you know, I'm not going to worry about my shoulder. I'm just going to worry about how I feel. And like Alex said, we'll see a few months from now how things are going and how strong I still am. So – you know, I think it's too early to say how many innings I am going to pitch, but we don't know yet.
But as far as how you feel, we ask you obviously after every time you pitch how you feel, aside from the foot, do you feel now like you felt before, like a normal person, before even before 08, before 04? Do you feel like you're in spring training like you were?
Yeah, I do. I feel like How Do You Feel is my new name, too. yeah. You know what? I do. I feel good. I've felt great so far all spring, minus the little bump in the road with the foot. But, you know, I couldn't be happier so far about what's happening with me.
Dustin, what was the low moment? What was the moment where you were just sitting wondering if you'd ever do this again?
I don't think there was just one. Spending 3 years down here in the same place, like Groundhog Day, and just you'd had those days where you just go out and throw, and you're just like, oh man, I just had surgery, and it still doesn't feel good. But you go out here the next day and throw, and have a little zip on your ball, and things felt good, and that kind of it gave hope and gave you confidence too. So, and that always put my mind that I knew I was going to be better and get through it.
As a diabetic, I find I heal really slowly on any injury, any cut, almost anything I do to myself. How much do you think diabetes factored in any way in recovery?
You know what? I mean, not a doctor like Alex, but I didn't go to med school either. But I don't know much about that. But I have read up on it, and it seems to be the case. And I do notice things like cuts and stuff too that it does take a little while to heal up. So, I mean, it could have something to do with it, but honestly, I don't know the truth to it.
Alex, how did you come up with the numbers? Who were the comps? Are there, like, how could you find any for what's going on?
There isn't. There's no one that looks like him at all. And at the same time, a lot of these guys get one-year deals, million-dollar base salaries, Chin-Ming Wong, Eric Bedard, and those guys obviously were talked about a lot. And their track record, and they've had a lot of success in the past. So that was part of it. They had incentives in their contracts, things like that. They didn't earn almost any of them at the same time. So I think it was just trying to find a way to meet in the middle. We're not looking to win any deals. It's just as long as we're within the range, the player feels good about it, the agent feels good about it. Our goal was to keep the player. So, from that standpoint, we try to avoid incentives if we can, and it's not because we don't want to pay players. I've just seen it again. This is all based on past experiences. We had contracts with incentives and options that would vest, and I've seen it happen in the game where there's conspiracy theories of front offices are dictating lineups, playing time, things like that. So as a general rule of thumb, though it's not a policy, because I think there will come a time where we need to have it, maybe a $10,000 performance bonus for salary arbitration or something. I try to avoid performance bonuses for that exact reason, that no one feels like we're trying to limit their upside, their earnings because of innings or plate appearances and things like that. So knowing these other guys had $1 million base salaries and there was some incentives there, and we bumped up the guarantee to try to meet in the middle there. Guarantee is a lot better than having to go out and earn it. And from that point, even the option, some of these other guys like Eric Bedard and so on, that have a good seasons that have come back, they're making around $4 million, and we're trying to protect them and, get them in the same spot. And those are the names that really came up. So that's how we came up with the total amount.